Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. All right, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy podcast. This week, to Chris's demise, it is my pick. It's Slaughter, Stick It To You from 1990. Guys, y'all ready to review this? You can keep your mouth shut, Chris.
Yes, I'm so ready. Anthony, let's hear your tagline.
It's the Audible Ecstasy podcast. We don't fly to the angels around here. We just stick it to you.
Not bad.
It's about as stupid as this album is. So good job.
Fine, man. I didn't think it made a hell of a lot of sense, but I was like, it sounds good. So
for this review, it doesn't need to make sense, man.
Oh God. Well, let's just go ahead and end this misery. Get it started. Track number one. Rock on. Right. No shit. I'm looking at the wrong notes.
It's called Eye to Eye, man.
Eye to Eye. Hit it.
What album's that?
All right, so Eye to Eye. I think it's a decent start to the album. I said there's a sound and a guitar sound in this song that reminded me of some other song that I could not find during this time. It's that staccato. I don't know what it was, but I cannot in my mind think of what the song was. So anybody who's listening has got some kind of weird song in their mind that reminded you of this. Throw it in. Tweet us, whatever. Just send us an email. I'd love to know what was in my head. But it's a song I've heard that has that same kind of groove. I don't know. Nonetheless, I think it's cool. I think it's a great little riff. I remember this song from way back in 1990 when this thing came out. I think it's a very good way to start the album. And that's how I rate the song. I gave it a very good. I'm at a 6. Chris, what
six
you think
to start an album.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, true.
I wonder, is it a ghost riff you're thinking of, man? Because I kind of hear that.
Maybe.
A
I don't know. It was some song. It's in my. I mean, I can hear.
It's not yeah, square
that's
hammer,
like a ghost
is it?
Riff. That's
could be.
Was that Jesus like Loves Pantera. Me or something? That he's. Well, I mean, I guess that's
Mary
actually
on the cross.
That's what you were doing. Anyway, on to my review. Instrumentally, it's pretty solid. I mean, I do feel like we've got some good musicians in this band. Lyrically, it's pretty generic. It's one of Mark's less annoying vocals. I'll give him that. But I gave it a 5. I think it's a good way to start the album. It's a decent song, honestly. I mean, it's not too bad. It didn't make my ears bleed or anything. But you know, we're getting there. Just fair warning, guys. This is not a good album. I'm gonna say it as it is. But for this, yeah, I think good is fair. It's a good way to start the album. Yeah.
Fair enough. Anthony, what did you think about Eye to Eye?
I guess I'm the only one who liked this song.
I like that. Dude, I gave it a 6.
It's cheesy, man. It's just
corny. I gave it an 8. I think it's an excellent team, man.
Lame.
Nice. Nice.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's a solid way to lead the album in, man. I do like the vibe and groove of it. You know, the vocals are solid. Band is on point. I'm going to say that a lot tonight because there wasn't a lot to say. But it gets the body moving, the head banging. No complaints, man. If this song, someone threw this album on somewhere and this song came on, I'd be automatically into the album saying, okay, I'm on board for some more, you know? So I think it's a good way to lead an album in. It's a solid tune. Would this song in this album landed in the mid 80s, maybe not, but I think around 90 with pure saturation of the hair metal genre. I think it's good for what it is. I do enjoy it, so give it an 8. Excellent tune.
Like caveats there, Anthony.
That's okay.
Well, throw it out a few caveats.
As long as it's released in this time frame, it's okay.
You know what? Like, this is a question I want to throw out anyway. So do you think Slaughter managed to break in because of the saturation of the market and they needed more bodies, or would they have been able to make it as a premier band like a Poison or a Motley Crue, somebody like that, in the early 80s? If they would have come out in the mid 80s when it was like getting really hot, would Slaughter have stood out enough, or would they have fallen away like some of these bands we're talking about now that are kind of lost
absolutely
to time?
Not.
So to
they would have not he's made wrong. It then.
No,
they would have absolutely.
I'm not.
Not
I'm not
that.
Putting an opinion on either side of it. I'm just saying, what do you guys think? Do you think they would have slammed or not if they would have come out earlier?
I don't think they'd got a record deal 5 years earlier. Honestly,
he's wrong.
Okay,
I will tell you
I'm
this.
Dead on right. Unless it's calling in a favor from a friend, which is probably how they got a record deal in the first place.
Maybe, but I will say this. Their first single was Up All Night. It was massive on MTV. It was a huge video hit. And MTV was alive and well in the mid-80s.
Right.
So keep this in mind. I think with their look, the way they looked then in 1990, if they'd have released this in 87, even though Def Leppard was on top of the world in hair and so was Whitesnake, I think they wouldn't have been a top 5 or top 10 tier band, but they would have been a band still being talked about in regular rotation even then, Chris. I hate to say it, his voice and his style, that feminine look that they had. Tell me I'm wrong.
But you know, they
yeah, they probably had the look. I don't disagree with
they
that.
They managed to have some success throughout the 90s. They put albums out throughout the 90s, so they
come
had
on now.
Albums
success.
On this one. Relative
name,
success.
Name one song by them that's not on this album.
I don't know. I don't know Slaughter.
Well, there you go. There's no success there. Come on now.
Wow, man! It was, oh my God. I was in country.
Mean,
I was into country in the 90s, so I have no idea.
Well, nobody was into Slaughter after this album, I can tell you.
The rock scene much in the 90s because I wasn't into it. So,
all right, let's go to track two before I punch both of y'all. Let's go.
I'm trying to be fair and honest.
Can you name a song that's not on this album? By the way,
fuck no, this is the only album I've
ever listened
to.
There you go.
Their next one's pretty solid, isn't it?
Y'all ready for the next song?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and go to the next one before.
Gotta pull this part, the worst part of the song. So y'all wanna go eat some dinner, eh? What's that? Charge us to the record company. You left your wallet at home. Oh no, you got a headache. Maybe I can get you some aspirin. Solid tune, man. That's what I'm talking about. Burning bridges falling down. Why you burning bridges falling down? Got a nasty reputation from town to town. Why you burning bridges falling down? Burning bridges falling down. Why you? Yeah.
All right, so for those listening at home, Chris did the worst part of the song to kind of make a point, I'm sure. But however,
exactly.
The song itself, it absolutely picks up the pace from the beginning of the album. I think the song gets to rock and the chorus is catchy, easy to get into. I love the vocals on this one. Mark's voice is excellent throughout the entire song, with the exception of the spoken part. And that's the only reason why it's not getting any higher. I gave this one a grade. I think it's a 7. Chris, what'd you think about Burning Bridges?
Well, I did pull that to prove a point that it's cheesy as shit. It's just corny. It's just like, it is.
Crap.
I mean, there's no question about that. Like, listen, you should be able to pull any part of a song and like it stand on its own.
Not necessarily.
Fair enough. Okay, whatever. Right. It's got a generic chorus. He's got annoying vocals. He says it right in there. He's like, you need some aspirin. Yeah, I do. After listening to you for an hour, however damn long this album goes. Borderline headache inducing is what I wrote down. It's a 4. It's a mad. Probably should get lower than that, but I gave it a 4.
Fair enough. Anthony, what do you think about Burning Bridges?
Well, it looks like me and Jimmy are the only sensible people on this podcast today.
Sure. Listen, there's a lot of people going to agree with me on this album.
You know, I think it's a solid tune with some bluesy Cinderella style riffs in it from time to time. Singable chorus, Mark is solid on vocals, band's on point. No issues other than the talking part, really. I mean, like I was telling Chris, that when Blackie Lawless talks in the middle of a Blind in Texas, you're really into it. Do you think it's kind of cool because it's Blackie Lawless? He's, you know, thumbing his nose at authority. But when Mark does it, it's not as cool for some reason. I don't know why. But anyways, Blackie Lawless and Mark are two different people, I'm sure. But overall, man, 6.5 for me. I gave it a point off just because of the talking part.
Spoken, yeah.
6.5, took off half a point. That was it. But it probably could be a 7 to take out that little. I don't think it's the talking that bugs me. It's the whininess of the talking. His voice is so high.
Very whiny. Yes, it is.
That's the
very
problem
whiny
with that part. If he was like talking in a normal voice and just goofing off.
Dude doesn't
like,
have a normal voice. I'm telling you.
Why? If he talked like
you
this,
know what?
Well,
that's incorrect. I'll get into that later. He does have a normal voice. He just
if he did like
it.
A David Lee Roth style kind of talk in the middle of it, it would have been different. Just kept his normal voice. It would have been fine. But he had to kind of get that high pitch and try to be all goofy and comic-y, and that just kind of killed it. But still,
100%. Okay.
Fair
but
enough.
Still, the song
that's
itself,
low for you, so I'm good with that.
Yeah. Take out the talking right. part. The song itself is a 6.5. It really is. To a 7, like what Jimmy said. I mean, that range is a good range for this song.
Excellent. Let's go to track number 3, Up All Night. Guys, Up All Night, first single from the album, and it's the first hit for the band. Man, they had huge success on MTV and radio with this one. I mean, it basically became an anthem to start the 90s. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, then you likely know this song. It's you understand why this is only can be scored a 10. This is a perfect song for the band and for the generation.
Agreed.
I don't care. I think this is iconic. I think this is perfection for Slaughter, perfection for Hair in My Ears. The only complaint I really had is I think the intro was just a hair too long on this, with a little bit of the how they fade in, so to speak. And the bass line, this is a highlight. It reminds me of Iron Maiden. I love that. And the solo is decent. So I gave it a 10, man. I think this is perfection. Chris, what'd you think about Up All Night?
It was definitely one of the bigger hits on the album. I don't think it's the biggest hit. I think maybe Flight of the Angels was the biggest hit, but I guess that's arguable. I don't know. I think instrumentally it's solid. I will say this, man, the chorus is kind of catchy. It does kind of stick with you, if not a little cheesy. I mean, he's always like, "That's right, ooh yeah," kind of stuff, and it's just like, "All right, dude, whatever."
That's who he is.
There is a lot of intro stuff and outro stuff in this that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know, they get America the Beautiful in there at the end. That, like, I don't get little kids singing that. That makes no sense to me. Yeah, and honestly, he when he sings, he's sharp most of the time, I've noticed, and I feel that when I'm listening to this song. I give it a 5. I think it's good.
Okay.
I don't think it's some iconic song, no. I mean, it was a hit for them, but that doesn't make a hair metal perfection. I mean, that's just... That's
where all right, Anthony, what'd you think about Up All Night?
I know y'all gonna hate me on
this. Here's something to keep you up all night. You know that directed the video for this song?
I don't know.
Michael Bay.
Mark Slaughter.
Michael Bay, of
Michael
all
Bay.
People.
No really? Kidding.
Mr. Armageddon, Mr. Rock, Mr. Transformers himself, Michael Bay. And this wasn't the only rock video he directed. He did a Lisp. He did a, or video he did. He did a Faith Hill video. He did some for Aerosmith, Meatloaf, Great White, Winger, Brittany Fox, Styx, Richard Marx, and Faster Pussycat, just to name a few. Fox. That's who Michael Bay directed a video for, so we need to go.
Was he popular then, or is it afterward when he
This is when he was getting his start around that time. So he got found before one of the movies. I think it's Bad Boys that got his start.
I bet that Aerosmith video he did was the one he did for that Armageddon movie. What do you bet?
I don't know. I don't have to look it up. I didn't look all the stuff up, but he did a Winger one, and he did Up All Night. So I kind of want to go back and see it now to see if it's got that Michael Bay kind of look to it with the big sweeping shots across everything. And, you know,
interesting
kind of what he does. But for me, Up All Night, man, I think this could be an anthem for the hair metal genre, personally. If you played one song, this is where I knew what Chris said. If you played the one song that represents this genre, it should be this one. It's bombastic, upbeat, soaring vocals, catchy chorus, big guitars, big drums, big hair, great harmonies. That's hair metal through and through. And what was hair metal's mantra? Up all night, sleep all day, party all night, sleep all day. I mean, this is a hair metal mantra from start to finish, man. The whether you love it or hate it, it's still representation of it. So
I'll be honest, there was a little annoyance when I was writing this review. You're right. I can admit when I'm wrong. This is probably more like a 7 where I should have gone with this. Yeah.
So I would say
I initially had a 7. I had like 4 different scores down and I kept like changing it. And I was like, and then Jimmy's like, write it the way you hear it. And I was just like, all right. But like, I do get where you're coming from. Yeah, that's a good point, man.
So I think it's a 10. I think it's perfection. And we lost our fearless leader on the other side. So I don't know what happened to Jimmy, but you want to cue up the next song? Going with My Life?
Sure.
Let Jimmy come in with My Life playing. We got it, Jimmy. We're going on to My Life. I gave it a 10, by the way.
Spend My Life now. So we have to change it up a little bit. It's a little sappy, a little catchy, easy to sing along. I can see why this was a single. This one has a mix of his vocal styles, which I like a little better than what he does the remainder of the album. I like how he sings almost in like a tenor
voice. Normal voice.
Whatever. Anyway, I enjoy how he explores both his lower and upper ranges in his vocals, and the guitar solo, once again, decent. Nothing that is, I don't think there's anything bad as far as his guitar playing. It's just not blistering fast like I like to see in some of these guys from the 80s/90s. I think the song is excellent. I gave it an 8. Chris, what do you think about Spend My Life?
You hear these vocals, right? That's his actual singing voice.
How do you know this
song. And I don't know why the hell he can't do that more often, because he sounds pretty good when he sings.
How do you know that's
like
his natural singing voice, though?
Because he's not straining. It's just like normal singing.
I don't think he's straining all that much.
Yeah, dude, he's always
straining. He's just high-pitchy.
No, you can tell this is his normal voice right here. Solid verses, solid chorus. I think it's honestly one of the better songs on the album. It's simply because he's not, like, giving me a headache when he's singing. I gave it a 7. Not much more to say on it. I mean, I wish he could incorporate a little more of his normal voice in the rest of this album like he does on this song.
Fair enough. All right, Anthony, what did you think about Spend My Life?
Yeah, it's another solid tune, man. It's kind of a softer sound. It's kind of a mid-tempo song. It's not really a ballad, but it's not really a fast song either. So
yeah,
I do like that part of it. Catchy chorus, get you singing, band is on point. Mark's vocals are tamer, but still sound strong. That's about it. I gave it a 7. Great tune.
Fair enough. All right, guys. So on the album, the next song is called "Thinking of June." It's just an instrumental acoustic piece. It kind of skips into "She Wants More." You know, so,
not sorry to interrupt you, Jimmy. I was going to say, do you think this belongs in this spot on the album? It doesn't really fit the next song at all.
It does
not at all.
It's misplaced, dude. I was going to say something about that at the end of the review. I think this song possibly should have either introed this album or did the outro, because it does not fit where it's at. I have no idea what they were thinking. Maybe they just wanted to get an acoustic piece on there. I don't know.
I was just questioning it, because
Autograph, Flight of the Angels, that makes sense to me.
I keep saying Autograph.
That could probably work too.
Firehouse last week, they had a 1-2 instrument, but it seemed like it bled in better to the other song.
Like
it should just been a part of that song and not that separate track, but this one really doesn't fit. But anyways.
Especially with this song. So we're going to go into track number 6. It's called "She Wants More." Wanna take it to the movies? She don't like no show. But she likes to see how far your credit card can go. Gotta push it to the limit, all the way to the top. Oh, don't say that word, 'cause you know she just can't stop. 'Cause she's going shopping. All right, so I'm not sure what happened, but this song really just doesn't hit me right. Not really good, and I hate to say it, but for the most part, it's forgettable, easily skippable, weak lyrically and musically. To me, it's a meh. I gave it a 4. Chris, what'd you think about "She Wants More"?
Chris's flush of the week.
Only one.
It's probably a 2 or 3 flusher on him.
The biggest turd on an album full of turds. Yeah, this, okay, dude's trying to do like a poor Bon Scott impression at the beginning of this thing. I mean, that's pretty obvious. He's trying to copy AC/DC here. Cheesy, corny, stupid lyrics, annoying vocals. It sounds like something like some cover band over the damn Holiday Inn Express would try to play and fail miserably at as well. And not to mention the nonsense at the end there, like he's at some carnival or something. There's some carnival theme to this album, I guess. I see the album cover there with some girl with knives getting thrown at her. It's probably the best thing about this album, honestly, is that album cover. It's bad. I gave it a 2.
2 is bad on our list?
Yeah.
We've never dipped so low.
A 2 is bad on our list. You've never gotten that low, I'm aware. But
I'm not
this is a bad song.
Below a 4. It's all right.
Well, I was telling you guys, I was like, I actually had to like pay close attention to the list this time when I was doing it, because like I normally don't go this low on a lot of songs. So,
all right. So track number 6, Anthony, what do you think about "She Wants More"?
I mean, honestly, I hate that. I feel like I should have given it lower numbers since you guys gave it lower numbers. I gave it a 6.
You think it's a very good song? Do you?
I still think so. Overall, it has some annoying parts to it, and. But it's kind of catchy. It's kind of upbeat. It's got kind of this sort of Van Halen style energy to it. It kind of grew on me the more I heard. It's got a really nasty guitar solo in it too. But it's still probably the weakest song on the album for me. But I didn't out and out hate it. But I do think that it does get a little bit annoying at times. But I still think it's a song I can turn on and jam to. A lot of these songs I can't really review. I just kind of like just jam to them because they're just solid jamming tunes, you know. So but I think a 6. Maybe a 5, okay. I don't know, but in that range.
Dude, it is what it is. Like I said, I didn't find it enjoyable.
It grew on me. It grew on me. It got better the more I heard it, but it's still the weakest song on the album for me, for sure.
Fair enough. Let's go to track number 7, "Fly to the Angels." Hit it. Rains, it seems the sun never shines. And I try. The lonely, lonely road. Ooh, I got the speed. So Fly to the Angels, sappy, yep. Ballad, yep. But does it rock? Yep. Always love this one. Absolutely makes you want to sing along. Knowing that you'll never be able to hit those high notes, but you still try as cars drive by and looking at you like you're crazy. And they're staring. Yes, yes, they're staring. I don't know. Forget I said anything like that. Never happened. Never happened. No, it's a killer song, dude. I think it's fantastic. I think it's perfect, once again, for Slaughter. I think it's perfect for the genre. And arguably, it's probably one of the best ballads from the 90s from a hair bass band. I gave it a 10. Chris, let's see how low you go.
I don't go too low on this one. I do think it's the best song on the album. I think it's very memorable. It's got a catchy, singable chorus. Those are all things I look for. I guess it's a ballad. It's kind of like a power-ish, almost slow-tempo rocker at points.
Power ballad is what you're trying to say?
Well, I mean, exactly. It's not really a ballad at times. It's more like a mid-tempo rocker. But, yeah, it is a ballad. I think Mark reins it in enough in this one where it's a pretty, you know, that doesn't distract. It was a pretty solid hit for him. I gave it an 8. I think it's an excellent song.
All right. Anthony, what did you think about Fly to the Angels?
TheLoneSongFacts.com on here today. Fly to the Angels was a worldwide hit for Slaughter, charting number one on 4 separate charts, including mainstream rock. It is also the only Slaughter single to go platinum, and it so is a greatest success as far as sales go. It appears to be a requiem for a long-lost, perhaps deceased lover or close friend. It was also yet another power ballad at the turn of the 1980s-1990s decade, when it seemed every heavy metal band had to release one power ballad in order to chart, which was true. Slaughter had 2 other Hot 100 charters, Up All Night and Spend My Life, both also in the early 90s. The band seemed to suffer from being compared to a lot of the hair bands of the time, particularly Skid Row, and for arriving on the metal scene right when grunge was about to come out of Washington and wipe heavy metal off the map. I wouldn't say heavy metal, I would say hair metal. Slaughter sounds like a typical name for a heavy metal band, but it's actually the surname of the lead singer, Mark Slaughter, in case nobody knew that. So it goes on from there. But that's songfacts.com. And my thoughts on Flight of the Angels. Slaughter crushed this power ballad, no issues, zero complaints. It's a staple in the genre and probably more of a 10 than the other 10 I dropped Up All Night. It's perfection for Slaughter and perfection for the hair metal power ballad genre. So.
Agreed. Agreed. You spoke facts, sir. All right, let's go to track number 8. Mad About You, Chris.
Don't you know, no, what you're doing to me? Only you drive me wild, you're my ecstasy. Can't you tell by the look in my eyes that I love you? Oh, I gotta show you what I feel in my heart, cause I knew it right from the start. Did I get about you? I go crazy with all of the things that you do. I'm so angry inside, and it's all over you. I'm mad about you. Don't you go too far away.
All right, guys. So Mad About You. I think it's got an interesting intro. I said it goes right to the rocking. Vocal sounds like the Bullet Boys to me for some reason in this song. I don't know if it's the riff. Voice, yeah. I do like how he starts out the beginning of this tune with a little bit in his lower range for Mark Slaughter, and then he kind of, you know, peeks into some of the higher stuff. I enjoy the guitar noodling in between the chorus and the bridge. I think this is an enjoyable song, easy to rock out, easy to sing along with, very good solo. Super, I mean, it's simplistic, but it fits the song just right. I was torn between what I should give this one, between great and excellent. Usually I'm at great right now, but you probably could sway me to make it an 8. I think it's a 7 though right now. Chris, what do you think about Mad About You?
I'm curious. Did you guys ever see them in concert?
Yeah, I saw them once way back in the day. I think they came to Johnson City.
they did. It was, I don't remember going with you, but it was Warrant was the lead band. They were the middle band, and Trickster was the opening act.
No, then I wasn't
that's
that
the time
one.
I saw them.
No, I wasn't.
They opened with this song. I had to go back and like look at the set list because I couldn't remember anything about the set list, honestly. Because, you know, they were like the middle band, so they only played six songs, but they opened with this. Went to Burning Bridges, Eye to Eye, Fly to the Angels, Up All Night, and closed with Loaded Gun, in case you're curious.
Wow.
That's a great song way to close, isn't it? I do remember that. I was down the pit for that. So, yeah, that was something. Yeah, this is a decent tune, man. It's a decent chorus. Vocals aren't super annoying. I think it's a little above average for the album. So I gave it a six. I think it's you know, very good for what this
okay.
is.
Anthony, what do you think about Mad About You?
You know, a strange intro again. Several of these songs take choices, yeah. And they just do not work.
Agreed.
But once you get beyond that intro, man, the song is upbeat, big drums, great guitar licks, vocals are on point, chorus is catchy, find myself singing along to it. Digging this one, man. I should have been the theme song to the Mad About You TV show.
The TV show.
How funny.
That's what great I kept idea. Thinking of. Kept thinking like
Paul Reiser would have appreciated that.
Paul right? Reiser and Helen Hunt in a video to this song. I could just be so funny to see. Seven, I think it's a great tune, so I do dig it.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to track nine. It's called That's Not Enough.
People try to push me.
Guys, so That's Not Enough. I mean, it's got a catchy vibe to it. Vocally, it sounds good. The guitar riff has a bluesy vibes at times, and then again, it gives you that 80s Kiss lick. And the breakdown is pretty decent. The transition was okay. I don't know how to explain it, but it never really grabbed me. I gave this one somewhere between good and very good. I think it's worth a 5.5, and that's where I'm going to stand on this one. Chris, what do you think about That's Not Enough?
I pretty much agree with you, man. It's the vocals are okay on this one. It's kind of a generic tune. I do think there's pretty solid guitar riffs in it. It's kind of got a bluesy little sound to it there. Just kind of middle of the road song on the back half of a long album. I gave it a 5.
Anthony, what do you think about That's Not Enough?
What'd you give it, Jimmy? 5.5?
I gave it a 5.5, yeah.
All right. Well, it makes my 7 look like an idiot, I guess. But
if you like it, you like it. That's what I've always said.
I think it's a great tune. I don't really have a lot to say about it. It's one of those songs I feel like I'm being bashing it, but there's not much to say about it. It's one of those songs you just kind of turn on and get lost in. Those kind of songs, driving down the road, you just kind of get a little volume, you just thump along and jam to. And it's that kind of song, you know. It doesn't really stand out in any way, but still really enjoy listening to it. So I'll give it 7. Give it a great.
All right, fair enough. Chris, let's go to track number 10. It's called You Are the One.
Can't go on without you.
So You Are the One. It's got a nice keyboard atmospheric intro, some acoustic play, almost is what we call it. I'm sure it would probably lean toward ballad, I would dare say. Not as good as Flight of the Angels. I think that this song fits the timing on the album as far as kind of slowing down before we pick it back up in a minute. I almost get a Nelson vibe on this song. You guys remember the band Nelson?
You know, Gunnar Nelson was in this band at one point in time, Jimmy.
I didn't know that. So that just tells you, I felt like there was a Nelson vibe with that acoustic and vocal harmony going throughout it. I think the song.
I wasn't going to steal your thunder, Anthony. I'm going to let you know. I was going to defer to you so you could say that, but go ahead, Jimmy.
You picked up on that, Jimmy. That's the first thing I picked up on when I first heard it.
Well, I wrote that down in here as a, you know, very Nelson-ish, if you will. I think the song is very good. I gave it a 6. I was actually teetering to possibly giving it a 7, but it's something in the song that just can't exhalate. I can't justify giving it a great. I think it's very good, though. Chris, what do you think about You Are the One?
So, yeah, like Anthony, we chatted briefly yesterday, and he was mentioning this song, and he said that he told me Gunnar Nelson was in this band. So I was actually going to say, Anthony, I'll let you do your review. I'll go last on this one because I didn't want to like – but then you didn't even realize that and picked it up, so that's crazy. That's how obvious – it does sound like a Nelson song. That's debatable whether that's a good or bad thing, to be honest.
Agreed, because I would never be caught dead listening to Nelson, but yes,
Here's my notes. It's actually not a bad little mid-tempo tune. It's got a decent chorus. I do think the background vocals kind of fall off, though, on that. You know, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's just, they just kind of like hang there but don't really do anything.
I don't really hear it, but keep going.
Yeah, I thought
the vocal harmonies were decent on this one, man, to be honest.
Decent, but not good, really. I mean, it was passable. Well, that's true. It's kind of bland, but honestly, on this album, it's above average, so I gave it a 6 as well.
Okay. Well, shocker.
All right, it's a decent tune.
What do you think about You Are the One?
You know, honestly, I wrote the next 3 songs, this one, the next one, and the one after, probably 3 of my favorites on the album. There's a stretch here that just when it hits, I'm really into. It just has this lightness to my ears that sits very well, this song does. Vocals are softer, guitars and drums are steady, and blend well with Mark's voice. I wrote in my notes, this felt like a Nelson song to me, so I had that figured out right off the bat. So I gave it an 8, man. I think it's an excellent tune. I really do like this one a lot. So,
did you pick that up before you knew Gunnar was in the band? Yeah. Wow, that's pretty impressive.
I could hear it, because there's like 2 Nelson songs, I guess, from the 90s that they were famous for. I can't remember the names of them, but vocally, that's immediately what I thought.
After the Rain, yeah. I do remember that one.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the names of them. I know them because I've heard them on radio, but I just cannot picture them.
They were Ricky Nelson's boys, right? Wasn't it right? Ricky Nelson, the singer.
Maybe.
His Nepo Babies.
Yeah, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
Anyway, I just knew they were blonde-haired kids, and they had long hair. That's what I remember from MTV, so yeah. Anyway.
You can fact-check me on the Gunnar part, but I'm about 1,000% sure I did read that on the Wikipedia bio. So
take your word for
that's
it.
That's cool. There's no need to doubt it, because I'm pretty sure they all had like a mix together in the mid-90s, late-90s, perhaps. All right, so let's go to track number 11. It's called Gave Me Your Heart.
Having a fever.
So Gave Me Your Heart, man, this riff is pretty good, and honestly it's infectious, although it's simple. I mean, initially I wrote this song off, but after a bunch of listens over the past couple of weeks, this song really did grow on me. I mean, super catchy. I enjoy it. Vocals stand out, maybe some of the best vocals on the album, to be honest with you. I think this is somewhere between great and excellent. This is a 7.5 for me. Chris, what do you think about Gave Me Your Heart?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was listening back to that just now, and probably a little low on that one. I do think there was some listener fatigue going on when I was doing this review at this point. But yeah, I think his vocals are actually pretty decent on this, and it sounds like they kind of sound pretty good, the harmonies in the chorus as well. I think instrumentally it's pretty solid too. So yeah, that's kind of a catchy chorus. I think I actually probably could have made this a single if I wanted to. I'm going to bump it to a 7. I think this is a, I don't know if great's fair, but yeah, I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay, fair enough. Anthony, what do you think about Gave Me Your Heart?
So yeah, I can find my notes here. Again, there's something about the style and sound of this one that I enjoy. Band's on point, chorus is catchy, Mark sounds fantastic. I gave an 8. Excellent too, man. I do like this one a lot too.
Good, so. Man. Good. All right, let's go to track number 12. It's called Desperately. Chris, hit it. Desperately, absolutely love the vocals. Very catchy. Arguably one of Slaughter's best songs throughout the years, and I love it. I don't know if I would call it a sleeper, but I think this could have been a single. It's my favorite song off the album. I think it rocks from start to finish. It does not disappoint. I think this song is outstanding, and it's just fantastic. I love it, and it's a 9. Chris, what do you think about Desperately?
Yeah, I'm surprised this wasn't a single because I don't think I own this album, but I definitely knew this song.
Oh, this is on radio. This was on radio and never was a single. That just tells you how much this song meant to, I guess.
And they didn't play it in concert. You know, they played 6 songs. This wasn't one of them the time I saw them. So that's weird.
That's what they should have closed the concert with.
Yeah, man, seriously. I'm telling you, that's what they should have closed the album with. It's in my notes.
Agreed.
It is probably my second favorite song on the album as well. I do think I probably prefer Flight of the Angels, but they're 1A, 1B, basically. Should have been a single. Should have been the album closer. It's got a very catchy chorus, solid guitar riffs. I gave it an 8. I think it's
fair enough.
Excellent. Yeah.
Anthony, Desperately.
My first two lines. Why is this song buried on the back half of this album? Why wasn't this song a single? I have no clue. And I also said this is one of the best songs I've ever heard by Slaughter. And honestly, if you gave me the 3 songs there on the 2 big ones on this album and this song, I'll take this song every day of the week over it. Even though I wouldn't give this one perfection, I still would prefer this one over those 2.
Definitely
it's a killer tune.
Night, yeah.
What's that? Up All Night?
Definitely. Definitely over Up All Night. I mean, it's not even close.
Heavy. It's loud. It's upbeat. Mark's dialed in. Band's on point. I don't know why this one wasn't more popular for him. It's a 9 in my mind, too. It's outstanding, man.
Dude, anybody that likes this style of music probably already knows this song. I think this is one of my wife's favorite songs too by these guys, and she's a pretty big fan.
I've heard
Slaughter,
it much
so.
Beyond this album, but I was never much of a Slaughter fan.
Dude, this is crazy. We listen to it like on satellite radio. It'll come up on her playlist. She has like a Pandora playlist that sometimes gets played. She of course plays it on Spotify. I mean, this is her kind of stuff. So outstanding. All right, let's close this album out with Loaded Gun.
Just like an ordinary girl.
All right,
gotta have a few Loaded Gun in your songs.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. It's final track, thank God. Right, intro was interesting. The guitar starts moving forward in the mix, so it seems like it's more pronounced in this song, and I get it. It's a pretty contagious riff, to be honest with you. But this song reminds me of the spoken Van Halen style songs that you would have gotten back in the day. Like, example, Inside. You remember all 5150, the Inside song?
Yeah, like the worst song of the album. Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was very catchy. I think it's groovy. Shut up. All right, I like it's nice, dirty guitar riff throughout. Pretty easy chorus, but even though it's not really a standout, the song can be skipped. However, I would have moved it somewhere different in the album, probably up toward the front so that you can get that faster paced riff in there. Should not have been the closing track. I will say that listener fatigue will kick in at this point if you're not a huge fan of this band. 13 songs is a lot of songs. Granted, it's basically 12 and a half when you count the acoustic song. The song is good and nothing more. I gave it a 5. Chris, what'd you think about Loaded Gun?
I really think Mark's trolling me with this album or this song title. He's wanting me to say something I shouldn't say on this podcast, so I'll leave it off, but you can infer what I mean with the name of the song there. Man, I'm going to read you my notes, and this is brutal, but this is what it says. Cheesy, corny, stupid, annoying vocals, trying to copy AC/DC poorly again. Bang, bang, ooh, yeah. Should have left it off the album. It pretty much sucks. I gave it a 4. Yeah, that's, you know, that's kind for those notes.
That's what I was getting ready to say. It should have been lower than a 4.
Well, disappointing is 3, and you can't be disappointed in a band you have no expectations from. So, like, that's a niche kind of rating right there. And I don't know if it's as bad as the one song that was on there. Was it She Wants More? Yeah, it probably wasn't that bad. They're pretty equal, honestly. I mean, I can downgrade if you want me to.
All right, Anthony, Loaded Gun.
What was your rating again, Jimmy? I missed it.
I gave it a 5. I think it's good and nothing more.
So my 6 isn't too far off.
No.
Make sure we're closer to each other. Desperately would have been a better way to send this one off. And I'm not in love with this song, but if you like the album so far, which I do, I don't see why you wouldn't like this song. Moderately, mostly. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. You know, and there's some annoyances in it too. It's one of those things that do some a little bit of annoying stuff like you do in a few other songs. But overall, I still think it's a very good tune. It's just kind of turning on to get lost in kind of music. So no issues with it. This should have been like buried in the middle of the album or something, not left as the one to send you off with, so to speak.
Fair enough.
And it shouldn't close the concert. I'll say that much right now.
I know. Yeah. I can't believe they closed the concert with this. That tells me all I need to know about these guys, honestly.
That is crazy. All right, so guys, we got some final thoughts on this one. I wrote down a few notes here just because of, you know, the way it listened. I mean, we got another album that takes me back to our senior year in high school. This is a senior year album. I had it on cassette back in this day. Few standout songs, and that's really about all I can say for this album. I mean, the album does struggle to be consistent, and I think that's the problem. And Chris, you know, basically hated it from start to finish for the most part vocally. And I get it. It's not for everybody, but certain things that I like, I promise you, you guys aren't going to like. And I lean toward the heavier stuff a lot. You know, we can break out Suffocation or, you know, Infant Annihilate or whatever, something insane that's got vocals that will absolutely blow your mind out.
Stop. But Infant Annihilator's name?
Yeah,
of the
look
band?
Them up. They're very underground. But anyway,
are they touring with Dying Fetus by any chance?
A Dying Fetus is awesome. So keep
no,
them,
I'm not saying I'm not.
Keep
no,
that
I'm
name
not,
out of your damn mouth. Hey, no, I'm just kidding.
I actually like some of their songs. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying is that stop killing kids, man. That's a little rough.
Hey. We don't want to go that. We don't want to get there, do we? Now, come on, man.
I'm just saying, stop using fetus. Stop using infants when we.
That gets political. Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So, nonetheless, album, it does struggle outside of a few killer songs, a bunch of good songs, and a couple of great ones. But the ones that are poor are the ones that really bring this album down. Album's too long. This should have been a 10-song album. This had been 10 songs. This album might have been just an absolute annihilator. For real, I think it would have been incredible, and I can think of 3 songs I can get rid of easily, and this album would be a standout. I mean, in all seriousness, I do like a lot of these songs, and I do revisit a lot of these songs over the years, but it's mostly the three big ones for me, which is Up All Night, Fly to the Angels, and Desperately. Although I do like Spend My Life, I think it's a great song. You know, it was a great revisit to that one, the single. Overall, my rating came to be a 7. I'm good with that. I think it's a great listen. The question is, would I recommend this? I can't recommend the whole album. I can't justifiably recommend this whole album. I can recommend a handful of songs to go back and visit, but I can't say, hey, this is one you got to go through and sit and listen to 13 songs, nearly 50 minutes of music. It's just not right for me to do that. Go back and revisit the songs that are, you know, the good ones. You can go, what, Burning Bridges is a good song. Up All Night, Spend My Life. She Wants More is terrible. I would burn that. I would have probably killed somebody for writing that song. Fly to the Angels. Mad About You.
You said Burning Bridges is a good song. Do I need to replay the clip I played for that initially?
You the one that picked the shitty part of the song. Hey, it's a good song.
There's a shitty part, so it's not a good song.
Not the whole song. Sometimes songs can be all
right. It's all right. But nonetheless, I think they could have really made this a 10-song album and really would have been just incredible. 7. Chris, what's your final thoughts? Can't wait.
Before I get into this, I'm looking at the Wikipedia stuff here. Let me read some things to you, see if you guys are familiar with any of this. The label is Chrysalis Albums. Are y'all familiar with that?
Yeah, Chrysalis was huge back in the 80s.
Is that like a big
80s.
Deal? Were they? Okay.
Yeah.
The studios were Red Zone Studios, Studio 55, and the Pasha Music House.
I've heard of Pasha.
I guess what I'm getting at is something tells me there wasn't much money thrown at this album. I may be wrong. I don't know anything about Chrysalis. I don't know what they... But then the producers... Mark Slaughter and Dana Strum. Well, Dana's in the band too. They didn't have a producer. They produced this thing themselves. No wonder. There was nobody to rein them in and tell them, hey, you need to dial this back a little bit. I find that interesting. They didn't even have a producer for this album. They produced
Mutt
it themselves.
Mutt Lange was there, it might
have been different. But, yeah, it absolutely would have been different. I think they're very capable, by the way. I think it's just, I don't know, it
all
went
right,
off the rails.
Before you go any further, Smartaleck, you just so you know, Huey Lewis in the news is on Chrysalis Records. That's somebody perfect. You love.
Yeah, I like Huey. I'm guessing Huey didn't produce Billy it himself. I'm guessing he had an actual producer with him. I mean, I don't know anything about these labels, but that's not one I'm familiar with off the top of my
head. UFO, a band I love, they're on there. I mean, there's a bunch of bands from the 80s, even the 70s. Yep. There was a ton of good stuff. So
UFO opens.
Don't
Iron
be shitting
shows,
on them.
Don't
they? Yeah, they do.
I just said I wasn't familiar with them.
Yeah.
I'll get on
you trying to make it sound derogatory. Bring it on.
Well, I will admit I'd never heard of the label before, and there's plenty I am familiar with when you hear them, so... Regardless, here's my notes. Corny, cheesy, annoying vocals, few decent songs. Would not recommend to our listeners. Don't waste your time with this. I don't know how these guys got a record deal, to be honest. I think Anthony had a good point. It that period in time, maybe. I think they might have called in a favor. I know this guy worked with Vinnie Vincent in the past. I actually did get a headache a couple of times driving home listening to this. I'm not lying about it. That actually did happen. Probably part of the reason I'm not too fond of the album. I think he's got phony vocals, man. I feel like, you know, you listen to country music, sometimes you hear some of these people that put this fake twang on it, and you just know it's fake. I feel like he's, like, going way too high just to prove he can, but it doesn't need to do that in these songs, and it comes off as phony to me. I don't know, maybe that phony is not the right word, but like over the top and unnecessary when less is more sometimes. I don't think they got that memo. That's pretty much it. I will say this. I was talking to a friend of the podcast, Jesse, this week, and I mentioned that we were reviewing this album, and he called it something I've never heard anybody say this before, but it cracked me up, and it's the perfect way to describe Slaughter. And he was, by the way, he was generous with the tier. He called it B-tiered butt rock. I'd call it D-tiered butt rock, but again, I don't know if you guys ever heard that that phrase butt rock before.
I don't know.
That's what people who don't like hair metal call hair metal, just so y'all know.
Is it really? Okay, yeah. Well, fair enough. This kind of is butt rock. I don't know, like... So I know I've slammed the hell out of this album. Is what it is. I'm unapologetic on that. My score was 5.8 when I rounded it up, but I don't think that's a fair review for me because I did not like this album. There were some songs I did like. I'm gonna bump it down to a 4 on my overall score. It's meh because it's kind of how I feel about the album.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anthony, final thoughts.
I don't know where to go from there.
I will say beforehand, Jimmy was like, don't sugarcoat it. Be honest. You did say that,
trust
right?
me, because you guys are probably going to pick stuff that I don't like. I don't sugarcoat the shit.
I know you don't. So
I just try to be a positive person.
There's no need to be positive on something you don't like.
I feel like this exactly. world. I feel like this world. Most days we're paddling through shit. So I like to be a positive person, but that's who I am personally. I'm glad we got a chance to dive into this one. Slaughter was a band that sort of escaped me back in the years. I was heading into country music by this point in time, probably. Hair metal scene was probably kind of. I'd found my bands in hair metal I was into, and I didn't really want to see anybody else. So yeah, I was pretty saturated by this point in time. It's a bit of a tough album to review because this is kind of album I kind of don't want to talk about. I'm more like just to turn on and listen to and kind of get lost in. That kind of album, just you got on the road driving around or cleaning your house or just turn it on in the background. It's good background music, you know. There's nothing to. So it's a little harder for me sometimes to pick out to review some of these songs for that reason. And it's great background music. It really makes you feel good a lot of times and puts a smile on your face at times. But I could recommend this album mostly to most people who listen to this. And I think if you like the big songs from here, there are some gems in here to find and to enjoy. And if you're on a streaming service, you're already paying for it. You're not losing out by just giving this album a listen. And if you don't like the song, skip to the next one. You know, at least with streamers now, you've got the right to bounce around. You don't have to go out and buy the CD or buy the tape and then say, oh, crap, I wasted money there. So I can say if you're on a streaming service, turn it on today, give it a listen, see what you think of it. You know, you might find some gems that you do enjoy. So it still came out to be a 7.7 for me because I had a couple higher numbers than you guys did. And that's actually 0.1 higher than the Eric Clapton album. 0.1.
There's no way this is better wow. than the Eric Clapton album, dude.
The Eric Come Clapton would be in the eights if it weren't for those two songs that sunk it for me.
He did have a pretty bad one.
He had those two songs, man, that actually I went low on. So that's what sunk that album. Consistently, the Clapton album is much, much better. But those two songs really sunk that one for me. But yeah, overall, I think 7.7 is a solid one for this one. It's a great right. album from start to finish. Great to excellent at times. If not perfect at times. So kind of problems.
Fantastic. All right. So we got us a pick, Anthony.
And in this corner, weighing in at approximately 180 pounds, the Ace of Apex, the Italian Stallion, the Ballad Boy, it's Anthony with his Pick of the Week.
Yeah, I think we need a palate cleanser after this one. Now, my brother is not going to be in for long enough to do a podcast episode, so I'm not going to pick Buffett for that reason. And I keep going back to Hysteria because it's one we all love, we all enjoy. I know we did Death Leopard earlier in the year, but God, I don't mind doing Death Leopard all year. So I think we should do Hysteria. We'd pull it out of that one we did. What did we pair it with? We paired it with, was it Bon Jovi or Poison? I can't remember
which one we paired it with. Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. So we probably need to pull Appetite out eventually too and go into that one, I would think. So. And eventually, I like to get into L.A. Guns, which was part of Guns N' Roses. So, but I think Hysteria, I was listening to Hysteria last night. I was like, that's a perfect palate cleanser for us. It's like shooting tens in a barrel. So, I mean, it's one of those kinds of albums. So,
it's more like a celebration wow. of music than a review.
I mean, I was dropping tens. I was like, listening to it last night going, is this a 10? Is this a 10?
Dude.
Is this a 10? There's so many songs.
That I was not expecting this at all. This is going to be... this will be an easy listen.
I was somewhere between...
Much appreciated, Anthony. I was really dreading Brittany Fox coming out.
I was somewhere between Brittany Fox and the first LA Guns album.
This is where it's getting crazy. We're running out of hair ideas because we're going to get to where these no-names are, and Chris is absolutely not going to even want to listen to them.
We lost
Anthony,
Jimmy.
I know you listen to a lot of weird stuff.
We did lose Jimmy.
It's going to be
Thank you, Riverside, for yet again losing somebody. Well, hold on, Jimmy. We're losing
Chris
you, bud.
Frozen on my end. That's no big deal.
Okay, we can hear you now.
You were frozen for both of us there for a bit.
Nah, it's all good. But I was just saying.
Hey, you know what? Technical difficulties just fall in line with this album. Let's just be honest.
I don't think we're running out of hair because we can do the back catalog on Poison. We've got the back catalog on Bon Jovi. We've got other bands we can get into. We just got to get into more of their albums.
Well, it's the same bands over and over again. I'm probably going to lean away from hair for a while. I'm going to go heavy. I'm going to go ahead and give y'all a heads up. We're going heavy. I got a good one on my mind that we've actually talked about in the past, and it's effing heavy. Arguably their heaviest album. So
yeah, I've got a heavy one I like to throw out there too. Eventually,
it may not be my next pick, but it's going to be a summertime pick. I think it'll be a fun one to do. It'll make you want to fight.
So I think Hysteria will be good one for a few.
Easy to pull. Jesus,
it's in the pocket, so we can do it 2 weeks from now. Next week, it's whenever you guys want to do it. So.
Stay on our 2 week break.
That's fine.
I don't even know what my schedule is next Saturday, so
that's fine. Let's just do it every 2 weeks. Give everybody a chance to listen to Hysteria because you know it needs to be listened to.
I can probably write my review tonight.
Man, Death Leopard, they're still riding that cash cow, man. Every time I log onto their Instagram, they got some 40th anniversary or they're pulling out songs from this. And we do have Adrenalized, probably we should get into. And I would love to cover Retroactive and Slang, but I don't know if you guys would want to get that far into them. But Retroactive is like a collection of B-sides, and some of their best songs are on that album. I love Retroactive. So, like Desert Song is a killer tune on that one. So, but
wow,
for the future.
All right. So, well, anything, what do you got going on this week, man?
Don't Rock the Jukebox. I'm getting into Alan Jackson's Don't Rock the Jukebox. Next week, if I can put it together, Zydeco music, some Zydeco songs for the podcast. So USS Zydeco's Mobile by Buffett. You know that song? USS Zydeco's Mobile from Far Side of the World. It's a Zydeco sound. And I stumbled onto a Little Feat song called Cajun Girl and then a couple of George Strait songs that I got Zydeco. So I'm only going to throw those four songs out there. I'm still tinkering away on YouTube, which I'm getting frustrated with.
There was a Zydeco on one of those Aerosmith albums.
It's on Pump.
Pump, yeah. I can't remember deep in that album. There was a Zydeco. It was like a real fun
music, man.
Zydeco tune. Yeah.
You can smell the crawfish cooking and feel the Louisiana heat when you're listening to those songs. So,
the mosquitoes biting.
Swamp music playing, man. But Little Feet, man. That song Cajun Girl by Little Feet is that's a banger. If you've never heard that before, it's really good. So,
jeez. All right, well, guys, you all probably don't know this, but today's Record Store Day in the United States. If you want to support small local businesses, go out, buy an album. Taking my daughter. She's a huge vinyl person, so we're taking her out today. Let her go pick out a couple things that she may like. Hopefully nothing crazy. I know that everybody knows that Taylor Swift dropped a song yesterday, or off an album yesterday. And
she's not going to buy that, is she?
No, she's not, man. My daughter
doesn't strike me like a Swiftie. So
she's a prog rock girl. She loves this old 70s prog stuff. So we're looking for, you know, Genesis and UFO, probably some Yes. I don't know. Whatever she wants, we'll go look and see what they got. Anyway, guys.
Speaking of Death Leopard, they just dropped something today for Record Store Day, like a double vinyl or something. Live somewhere.
It's a live album.
Hysteria redo or something.
No, it's like live in Sheffield.
Vinyl. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Live in Sheffield. That's good.
Something like that. Yeah, they get that live on Hysteria. There's like a bonus. There's like a live attached to it on like the CD or something. It's really, really good. Early live album from them. So.
Fun note.
It's a great album, dude.
Sheffield, that's their hometown, I assume.
Yes.
It's also Arctic Monkeys' hometown.
Yeah, a few bands came out of Sheffield.
I didn't know.
Where did Sabbath come out of? They didn't come out of Sheffield, did they?
No.
They were close to
Birmingham.
Yeah, but they're middle England, you know, in the
they're from the
rust
poor
belt
parts.
Up there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're from the poverty stricken parts of England back in the 60s and 70s, anyway. All right.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, this has been an exciting week. I'm sure Chris has been hating life for 2 weeks, and that's okay.
All right, I'm ready to cleanse the palate with some Def Leppard.
He's
now.
Probably going to pay me back with some absolute garbage, but it's okay.
Oh, you're good. Just wait.
I can't wait because it should be fun. All right, boys, for the Audible Ecstasy Podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
This is it. I can't thank you very, very much. You have just run.